and welcome to Catholic Cardinal Reflections, the regular podcast of the Catholic community at Stanford University. This is a weekly podcast of Sunday homilies and theological reflections given by the staff of the Catholic community and their guests. Today's speaker is Father Xavier Lavaghetto, OP, pastor and director of the Catholic community. It is the 16th Sunday in Ordinary Time, and the readings are from Cycle C.
You know, everyone wants to be welcomed with open arms. I recently returned from vacation, and its most cherished moment was the open hearts and arms that greeted me. The Chef family received me as family, and 5-year-old Marley ran over, hugged me, and said, "Oh, Father Xavier, I love you." And Devin, who's 8, ran over with a smile and this incredibly tight embrace. Have you ever noticed that it is the warmth of the welcome that shapes all that follows? It is the warmth of the welcome. And there's power in it. The ancients knew this. Welcome and hospitality were sacred duties that fended off the temptation to take by force. For nomadic cultures, it was a matter of life and death. It decided peace or conflict. It was the golden rule: do to others what you would have them do to you. And so those tribes, those peoples that offered welcome, found themselves ready welcome. And so Abraham welcomed 3 guests. "My Lord, if I feign favor with you, do not pass. Let a little water be brought. Wash your feet, rest, let me bring a little bread, and then you may refresh yourself." Of course, Abraham's hospitality was simply over the top. Orders flew. "Sarah, make ready quick 3 measures of choice flour, knead it, and make cakes." Abraham ran to the herd, took a calf, tender and good, and gave it to the servants, who hastened to prepare it. Everything became hustle and bustle in order to provide a feast. And this feast was enough for a mob. That's the kind of hospitality that Abraham offered. Is our society as welcoming? Or does initial wariness set the stage for conflict by building walls, not bridges? How many black lives have ended because the meeting began with suspicion? How many police lives are lost now? Does your welcome, my welcome, build bridges? You know, everyone wants to be welcomed with open hearts, even God. And what does God do? He welcomes Abraham into the land of promise. He promises Abraham a son. Everyone wants to be welcomed with open hearts, even Jesus. Today's gospel really is all about how do you welcome the Lord. Martha welcomed him. She had a sister named Mary who sat beside the Lord at his feet, listening to him speak. And that raises the question: who welcomed Jesus better, Martha or Mary? Clearly not Martha. She puts Jesus right in the hot seat. "Lord, do you not care that my sister has left me by myself to do the serving? You fix it, Lord. You tell her." Who wants to be caught between 2 battling sisters? Martha offered food as hospitality. Mary offered the food of an open, listening heart. Just as God promised Abraham a son, Jesus is actually promising Mary a ministry. That's going to sound a little strange. You know, the role of women now is being discussed once again. Are we have deaconesses? for example. And today's gospel speaks to the issue with its curious description of Mary's posture. Mary sat beside the Lord at his feet, listening. Mary sat beside the Lord at his feet. How do you do that? How do you both be at the Lord's feet and sit beside him? That's the question, right? Kind of bizarre. First century Jewish culture did not allow women to sit and chat with men. Women should be outside in around the stove doing the cooking or with the kids. What Mary was doing was unthinkable and unheard of. But here it is, the phrase, at his feet listening. That's more than a description of painting a picture. It identifies a young man who wants to become a rabbi at the feet, learning at the feet of the master. He is a disciple preparing to become a rabbi. Mary is not just a disciple. She really is being prepared to become an apostle. The word to give. And so should every one of you. God in Jesus welcomes us and asks us to welcome others. You can't accept Jesus' welcome without accepting a share in his ministry of redeeming the world. That's your job with him. And so that's a good start to understanding Paul's really kind of presumptuous speech. I rejoice in my sufferings for your sake. Well, that's good. Paul suffers for us. But then this line, in my flesh I am filling up what is lacking in the afflictions of Christ. Huh? Wasn't Christ's action already more than sufficient? In my flesh I am filling up what is lacking in the afflictions of Christ on behalf of his body, the church, to bring to completion for you the word of God. Neither God nor Paul is about pain for pain's sake. This is not the kind of suffering we're talking about. But that giving away of self that allows Father's overflowing love in Christ to appear now in the Christian community, in the church, in this world. What is lacking is not the healing power of Christ's love on the cross, but its manifestation, its being poured out into the community, into our world, and boy, does our world need it. Paul's favorite expression is, in Christ. It's oneness. It's a real oneness with Christ. He is willing to bear any burden so that God's love may be born in people. The same is still true now. If you give Jesus permission, Jesus prays in you, loves in you, offers himself to the Father in you, and makes you a gift of love to the Father and to the world. With Christ, you are priest and sacrifice. You are priest and sacrifice in every Mass, if you pray it. If you enter into that dynamism, which is Jesus himself, it is his love in you that begins to make the world anew. It's his love in you. Because only you can be in the place you are for others. You know, in a world grown acrimonious, in a nation divided and dangerous, we need people to be God's welcome. Give God that merry heart, that opening heart. For you too have the duty, as St. Paul says, to bring to completion the word of God in our time, in our place. You have a ministry because all of you are called to be disciples, but sent as apostles. Now I've had the privilege here at Stanford to meet some incredible people. It's what this university, this community is about. So I want to share the richness of one man, Conrad. Come on up here.
Thanks, Father Xavier. Father Xavier and Father Emmanuel asked that I speak this afternoon to talk about a little bit of the spiritual training I've been doing this summer with them. And I just graduated this past spring as a mechanical engineering major, and I also spent 4 years on the volleyball team here. And part of that, like being an athlete here, there's a lot of focus, there's a lot of discipline involved, there's a lot of accountability with your teammates. You've got coaches, there's people pushing in the weight room all the time. You have to be here and there all the time. You've got practice in the afternoon. You've got weight sessions in the morning. There's all these things that go into being a successful volleyball player and being a successful teammate and having a team that hopefully is a championship contender at the end of the season. And luckily, I'm able to keep playing professional volleyball. In a couple of weeks, I'm going to be heading to Ravenna, Italy to play. And, you know, there aren't a lot of athletes who have that opportunity. I'm really excited to go. But I started to talk to Father Emmanuel because I wanted to be as focused as I was on volleyball, also focused on growing in my faith and getting closer to Christ. And so we started to draw a lot of parallels between what it was like to go pro for volleyball and also to go pro for Christ. And we've continued this analogy all the way through, where we're talking about how Father Xavier and Father Emmanuel are like coaches. They hold me accountable. They're disciplinarians in a way. They help me to grow, give me new opportunities to grow in my faith in Christ. I've got my friends in the community here who are like my teammates. You know, we have this common goal together, all in this community, that we're all always trying to push to get closer to God. You know, we think of all the things we do. We come to Mass. We pray every day. We're trying to do the little things. One of my good friends has a thing he calls a plus one, where, you know, he's going to Mass, but he's trying to do one other thing, maybe go to a daily Mass each week, to get 1% better, do a little bit more for God that week. And these are all really important things for me that I've been learning, where I can dedicate a lot of time to volleyball, but also dedicate as much time, if not more, for God, because they're the two most central focuses I have in my life right now. The NCAA used to run these ads that I thought they were kind of cheesy at the time, but it was always about, you know, they'd have like 400,000 student athletes in the NCAA, and only a few went pro in their sport, and so they'd be showing highlight reels of all the athletes doing like whatever gymnastics highlights or like football touchdowns and like basketball dunks, all that stuff. But then they'd be intertwined with clips of them studying in the library or working on computer assignments, something along those lines. And you know, I'm lucky enough to be one of the athletes who continue his career in volleyball and keep playing professional sports. Well, I have a lot of friends who are, you know, moving on to their professional careers in other areas. But the cool thing about going pro for Christ is that you don't need to be a D1 athlete to go professional. Like, all of us are called to go pro for God. And I think that's a really powerful message and something that I've been learning, that, you know, I need everyone here to be my teammate, that I've got all my friends, I've got everyone pushing me to be accountable, have that discipline, and keep myself focused on the Lord in all that I do. So thanks, Father Emmanuel, Father Xavier, for like being my coaches in that regard.
This has been a presentation of Catholic Cardinal Reflections, the regular podcast of the Catholic community at Stanford University. Director Gary Glover, with music by Albert Tomaso and Shane Clarkson. For more information, please visit our website at catholic.stanford.edu or visit our offices on the third floor of Old Union. Till next time, God bless you.